I've done some crazy shit. Like,
what's a crazy shit thing you did?
When my ex-fiance wanted this like limited edition teddy bear that he gave me, which first of all, ew. It was very expensive, I will say. He wanted it back and he was using it as a reason to just like contact me. And so he lived in a different state. So I mailed it back to him, but I mailed it to him one limb at a time. So like first he got an arm, then he got a leg, then he got the body. And it was like a $300 teddy bear. I mean, I was also 18 and engaged. So, you know, I feel like it's fine. It's been a decade. I can talk about it now.
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. However, since I know the gist of the story with the engagement, man, I say it is justified. But that is, wow. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your host, Erica Spira, and today I have a great guest for you guys this week, as always. But before we get to our guest, real quick, if you're watching us on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. You're already here, all right? You're already having a good time. Just hit the button, okay? Or if you're listening to us and you want to watch us, go to our YouTube page. Just search Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod, and you will find us, or the link is in the description for you. A few things we got to plug up top. We have our Patreon-only live show, which is virtual, so you just got to join the Patreon to be a part of it. It's next Monday, the 17th, so join us there, patreon.com/shootersgottashoot, all right? We have a $3 tier. You can join that tier if you just want to come and watch, but the Patreon's $5 a month. If you want an extra episode, you want us to answer your questions, we're going to have guests, live Q&A. It's where all the juicy gossip is, so join us there, patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. And I think that's all I got for plugs for this week, so hit it, Fonzie. All right, my guest this week is one of my homies. If you're on the Patreon, you've definitely heard me talk about her. I'm very excited she's here. Everybody, please put your hands together for Stephanie Andrew.
She's trying to get me to join the Patreon so bad. I'm like, what's she saying? What's she saying? Yeah,
that's my new plan of the show. I just have guests on, and I'm like, I'm talking about you. You want to give me $5?
Absolutely.
Come join.
Take my money.
But yeah, welcome. Welcome to the show, officially.
Yes.
I wanted to have you on just because you've lived a life.
That is, I am here, yes.
Stephanie has been through several different things.
Through it.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know which one to start with, because before we turned everything on, you were like, oh yeah, that one thing you said you wanted to talk about, I had to send an email to my therapist first.
Yes.
I was like, okay.
It was, well, like, do you have time to meet immediately?
Meet? Oh, you had to meet with her? No, I feel bad.
No. I'm joking. It was, okay. I mean, I'm not joking, but like, we can discuss it. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You sure?
Yes.
That's not a gotcha show.
No, I'm an open book.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You're one of my homies. And I was like, oh, you know, I like having people on the show that I just like talking
story.
To and having fun. But we could start something else to warm you up a little bit.
Yeah, we have to ease into the trauma.
Ease in. Well, first of all, if the Patreon people are listening right now or watching, you were with me. We went to a fireman mixer, which I recapped more fully on the Patreon. But fireman mixer has been successful in your favor.
Yeah. So I went into this planning to pay $35 to roast a bunch of like hot grown men because I was so pessimistic about meeting someone that I can even tolerate. And then I did exactly that. So it's going. It's the first time I've been kind of like seeing someone to any degree in 3 years.
Oh, damn.
So that's a long time. And yeah, it's cool. I mean, he's a firefighter. He's hot. he's got that going for him.
That's the only description we're gonna get.
That's all
he's
you get.
A firefighter.
Well,
he's
I
hot.
Can't tell you his name because I have this whole plan to soft launch him on my Instagram. So,
okay,
and I'm not gonna hard launch him until our wedding.
This is what we've debated before. You're like, I love a soft launch.
I love a soft launch because I believe that when people don't know about your life, they can't fuck with it. So,
oh, that's from a different thing. Yeah. But I think the soft launch is like giving the man a little leeway to still fuck around and do what he wants.
My reason.
That's why I don't like it.
Oh, no. Oh, I get that. No. I wouldn't be with someone who wants to do what he wants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the soft launch won't be problematic.
Okay.
Because if he does what he wants, then he's going to be very single. Goodbye. Be well.
But that's why I'm saying the hard launch to me, I think, gets rid of that. Where it's like, the reaction to it, or I mean, you're my friend that we do the constant TikToks back and forth. And I remember I sent you the one that was like the picture theory of like you're on a date.
Yeah.
And if you take a picture while on the date of them or the two of you together and
which
see how
we
they
did.
React.
I don't remember the theory. What happens?
Well, this girl was like, oh, I've done this and reserved around whatever number date. And she was like, oh, the guys that I ended up dating were not at all weirded out by it or like, where are you going to post that? Where's that going? Who are you sending that to? Like, none of that. If anything, she was like, oh, then they'd be like, okay. And then sometimes they'd take pics of me or they would like gladly hop in.
Yeah.
Whereas other people would be very skeptical of kind of like, hey, where's that going? And like, I've had someone, you know, their arm was in a photo. This is before soft launch was invented. It was purely accident. I was taking a picture of my food. He got in there. And he was weird about it when I put it on my Instagram story. I'm like, you're not tagged.
Are you afraid someone's going to identify you by your arm hair?
That's what I said. Like, no, it's a sleeve. It had clothes on. I'm like, I don't.
Odd. Yeah, I don't trust those people.
Right.
We took a picture.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, we went to, red flag run. We went to the Gustav Klimt immersive exhibit for our first date. And there was a selfie room. And he's like, oh, we should go in there. So we took a selfie. So, and he was cool about it. I mean, I didn't post it anywhere again because soft launch.
But the thing is, yeah.
But he was like cool about it. And then I'm thinking about the time that I was in a relationship for like 4.5 years and I have 2 pictures of him because he like, he actually hated me and did not want me to be happy ever.
So that proves the theory.
It proves the fucking theory.
If your man hates taking photos with you.
He also cheated. So confirmed. Confirmed, my dude. That is how you can weed out the bad ones. Will he take a photo with you? But yeah, so he's super cool and he's like been planning really dope dates and he's very communicative and I'm an anxious bitch, so we love a secure partner. He's like, before I can even be anxious about something, he like reassures me. And I'm like, who are you? And what is your flaw?
Well, technically, anxious bitches love avoidant partners.
Oh. Wrongfully. Don't even get me started. It took many years. Like I said, 3 years of therapy to be like ready to like trust my intuition and trust that I'm not going to go for an avoidant person because almost every guy that I've dated historically has actively told me I will never date you. And then I was like, challenge accepted 4 years later, bitch, we live together.
I mean, I personally almost feel like maybe it is not true for everyone, but for me, I almost feel like I have just run out of energy to be like chasing someone in that
I won't do it.
Like I very quickly run out of the energy of like, I feel like this guy's not into it and I'm tired of putting the work in.
Yeah, it's exhausting and dating in the city especially because I feel like, I mean, I'm from the Midwest and so, you know, dating there is much different. You do it until you're 20 and then you get married and have 6 kids. And so when I came here, it was like, woo, like I was in shock because you just get treated like you're disposable, you know, like you can really think a million times, damn, that went well. I never personally thought that, but like people do. And then it's just like, no, JK, you know?
Yeah, the smell of New York that everyone complains about. It's like, oh, is it the trash? It's like, it's all of us just being disposed in the dating world. It's just failed relationships on the street.
Yeah, so anyways, we're going to like weddings next month. We're doing things.
That's pretty crazy.
I mean, I think I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, my first date in New York City was with a homeless man, so it can really honestly only go
uphill. I'm sorry, pause.
You know this story.
I do not know this story.
Oh,
look, was this a guy who was just being a player and staying at several different women's apartments?
No.
Like,
that's
pure
homeless.
You're
being too optimistic. So he was couch surfing, but definitely not with women.
Damn.
So I was seeing somebody when I moved to the city, and it was like not exclusive. You know this, just
yeah.
think. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, a shit show because unavoidant men, love them. And one night he made me so angry, and I said, you know what? I didn't move to the city full of millions of men to put up with this. I'm going on a date. And I told him that. I was like, bye. And then I just opened the app and the last guy who had messaged me, I was like, hey, do you want to go out? And he's like, sure, I can meet you at this time at this bar. And I'm like, okay, dope. So I get to the bar. I'm waiting 10, 20, 35 minutes. And I'm I'm like, oh, I'm being stood up. Like, this is the first time. And everyone else in the bar is like, oh, she's being stood up. You know, I'm doing the, like, the door opens and I'm like, is it? Nope. Okay, cool. So he texts me. He's like, I'm running late. It's 30 minutes at this point. And I'm like, he's like, be there in 5. Oh, my God,
you're still were there.
I'm still there because I'm pathetic. And so all of a sudden, I think, oh, there's no way. I see this man roll up on a Razor scooter straight out of 1993, drenched in sweat, helmet and all. He proceeds to, like, collapse the scooter down and bring it into the bar. And I was like, I think you could just leave it. No one's going to take it. You know, it's like the thing's covered in rust, my dude. Like, you're good. And so he walks in. Immediately, I don't care about height, actually. I'm not one of those people. Like,
yeah, you're
I,
it also just, not super tall.
I'm also not super tall. I'm 5'6", so whatever.
We advocate for short men on the pod.
You have what?
We advocate for short men on the pod.
Yeah, hell yeah. I love short men, whatever. But it wasn't the fact that he was short. It was that he lied. Like, his profile was like 5'11", and he was like 5'5".
That's a bold lie.
So the comment,
because short women will be like, after a certain height, I can't really tell how tall you are. But right. That's like,
no, no,
buddy.
No. I stood up and I was like, you know, I could kiss his forehead. I could give him a little.
Yeah.
So
he wasn't big enough for a real scooter.
He wasn't big enough for a Revel scooter sponsor. So then immediately he's just telling me about, like, how much he hates his family, which is very weird. Like, that's like a weird way to start the conversation.
Sorry, I'm late. My mom is terrible.
Is a bitch.
I have trauma. Okay.
Cool. I like my family personally, but sucks for you. So. We're going through the basic, like, oh, fucking kill me, dude. Like, the where do you live? Where are you from?
Well, what does he say to the where you live part?
Well, so that's how it all comes out. So he's asking me the question. So he goes, oh, you just moved to Park Slope from Michigan. Tell me about that. So I'm like, yada, yada. And I go, you live in Park Slope too, right? And he goes, well, kind of. I'm sorry. You're going to have to elaborate, because how do you kind of live somewhere? And he's like, technically I'm homeless. And I'm like, cool. This is very not Sex in the City of me right now to be here with you. And also, though, I'm from the Midwest, so I'm just, I don't mean to be like, I'm nice, but I'm nice. And so I was like, there's tears to homelessness. This might not be that bad. So he continued to explain that he's, like, couch surfing for a few months. So it wasn't, like, a new thing. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So then I just really want to get away from that part of the conversation. So I'm like, well, what do you do for work? And he's like, oh, it's sort of a funny story. Immediately not going to be funny. If a man tells you that something's a funny story, run. Immediately no.
What do you do for work? It's hilarious.
So I have this quick internal dialogue. Like, okay, he probably moved to the city from Florida, got into finance, got addicted to cocaine, decided he needed an out. He wasn't happy with his life. He quit his job, and now he's pursuing his passion of music. That's not what happened.
Yeah, you are incredibly optimistic.
I was really trying to make my first date in New York work. He worked at Ample Hills, the ice cream place.
Oh, the ice cream place, yeah.
And I guess he, like, walked in the day before our date. He walked in, and they had scheduled him 4 days in a row, and he was like, fuck this, and he quit on the spot. And I was like, Ben,
fuck training,
Ben, honey, not fuck to mother training. You I know you have mommy issues, but you should be working full-time. You're homeless, you know. And so the whole date was just a nightmare. He goes to the bathroom, the bartender walks over and just gives me a shot. You know me, I don't even drink. I was like, this could be bleach and I'm taking it. And so when he came back, I was like, I have a comedy show I just got invited to do. Like, I have to leave. But what no one preps you for when you move to the city and date is that there's a possibility that when you leave the bar, you're going in the same direction.
Uh-huh.
So then homie is scooting next to me for a quarter of a mile. Finally, I'm just like, I'm taking the long route. I'm like, I got to go this way. Like, I got to get out of this situation. So yeah. And then that was it. I mean, that wasn't it. He texted me multiple times after that. And I was just like, there's no way that you thought this went well.
Yeah.
There's no way.
That's weirdly the time they always text, though.
Always. Like he was so, like,
no, let me win it back.
He was so confident. I'm like, you told me about your mommy issues. You told me about your daddy issues, your couch surfing, how your dog doesn't have food, how you quit your job, but you lied about your fucking height.
Yeah.
Like what?
That is weird. That's a weird move.
That's what you chose to lie to me about. So
they're like, women love honesty, except
after that, I was like, well, at least it can only go uphill, you know?
Damn, that's
and it mostly has, except I did go on a date with a guy who did a line of cocaine before, and the date was to one of the dumpling spots in Chinatown where you get like 20 dumplings for $1. I was like, and I was vegetarian at the time and they were all pork, and so I just watched this man inhale dumplings and then be like, I'm gonna go grocery shopping, do you want to go? I was like, I think I'm good.
That's crazy.
I took a half day off work for that one, and then I walked back into work and they were like, we're not gonna ask, and I was like, probably better.
Yeah, you're like,
it's like really bad. So this guy pulled out some Gustav Klimt, and I was like,
yeah, I don't even know what that is.
He's an artist.
I know it's art. I'm not that dumb. I know it's art. I know you went to a museum of some kind. I know what exhibit means, but I don't know the artist, okay?
Okay.
Usually my line of work.
Saw, maybe you would.
I wouldn't. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't. I saw your Instagram story. I was like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
No fucking clue. But can I say, I kind of love that you were being pessimistic going to the party and still ended up like meeting someone.
Oh, I was so pessimistic. Also, if you're looking to date or meet people, fuck the apps, go to a mixer. Because that's like the closest thing to an organic like meeting, mm-hmm. you know, that you can get. So I left and, oh God, he's gonna listen to this, it's fine. I left and I was like, I have a roster. I have 11 firefighters on my fucking team. And then I had to go and be like, okay, well, this guy was like a fuckboy. This guy was kind of, the conversation was boring. Mm-hmm. Like, and I didn't really have to do that because like, so how I knew that I liked him above everyone else was because I was kind of roasting him and he gave it back to me. And I was like, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. And so,
And we were all talking in the group, and it was just fun. It was like, this guy's fun.
Group was like vibing. They invited us to the Halloween party. He was like, let's do a group costume. And I was just like, this is a vibe. Yeah.
That's a relationship man right there. So let's do a group costume.
Yeah.
But it's just so much of the advice is always like, like, you need to love yourself before someone else loves you.
I don't fucking love myself. Let's be clear. I had a mental meltdown about being on camera today. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Like, yeah. Like, we have insecurities. Like, I've been in therapy for 3 years. I'm working on shit. But I don't think you have to, like, love yourself perfectly or have your life together to be ready for someone. I think that's a bullshit attitude. Like,
if anything, I'm like, all the people I know that are depressed and sad are the ones always with somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't buy that.
I don't know if that's the route to go either, though.
You know what
there's
I mean?
Like a balance, you know, like you're never gonna find someone who's just like, I love every aspect of my life all the time. And if you do, that's not that scary.
You know, or the bullshit that's just about like your energy. Your energy needs to be open and like, ooh, you know, like what?
That's
the bullshit I always get from people. They're like, your energy. And no one has ever told me that was someone that I wanted to fuck. No one that I've ever wanted to fuck was like, oh, you know, your energy, you know, just feels like you don't want anybody. It's like, I don't want you.
Let me heal my pussy chakra real quick.
You're mad I'm not flirting with you. And it's like, because there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
That's my energy is correct.
Yeah.
I don't want you. You're reading that correctly. And then they're like, well, this is the energy you're giving to men, honey. No one's going to talk to you. I was like, exactly.
Actually,
I don't want to talk to you.
This guy's friend said that to me at the mixer. He was like,
oh, really?
He's like, you don't really seem like you're here to meet anyone. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. You are correct. I love pissing away $35 on a Thursday.
But that's what I'm saying. I like it. It's like, you know, there's so many bullshit sayings. Like, it'll happen when you're not looking for it.
My favorite is like the person who's been with their partner for 10 years. And they're like, yes, exactly. Like, you just don't. I have a friend who said this. Like, you just have to stop looking. And I was like, I literally don't leave my apartment. I don't know how much less I can stop looking. Like, I'm like, I'm off the apps. I'm just like in therapy twice a week. Like, how much more? How much more do I have to stop looking? It's been 3 years. Like, my eyes have been closed the whole fucking time, you know?
No, I feel that.
And it's just, it's bullshit. There's no timing. It's just a matter of like happenstance and it's all bullshit.
Yeah, it's something too. If it's like, I don't know, I'm at the point, I'm like, if you're going to come and disrupt my peace, you got to come in hard and fast and heavy. and yeah. be all about it. And I'm just like, that's it.
Well, so my
change
thing
my
is,
mind, make me less pessimistic. Yeah, yeah.
My thing is like, I've been alone for so long, and I have. Okay, this is where I get to talk about myself. I have a badass career. I have a cute dog, an apartment in a beautiful building. I have incredible friends. There's nothing, like, if I want something, I buy it. Like, there's nothing that I can't give to myself. So what are you going to bring to the table? What makes you special? You have to enhance my life in some way, even if that's just the connection that we have. You right. know what I'm saying? Like the conversation that we have, it doesn't have to be something like huge, but my life is good. I'm not in no way looking for someone to like fix it
yeah.
Or like bring me happiness. I have happiness. So it's like, you better do something. You better do something, you know, because I'm not just going to jump at the first opportunity to be in a relationship with someone.
Yeah, but sometimes isn't that more frustrating that you're almost just like, really, I just want the most basic thing to just like be a good time to be around. And when you still feel like you're having
you
trouble finding
find
that,
it.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Because that's the beauty of like if you financially have money, and I know many women that do very well, and they're like, I really don't care if that guy makes a lot of money. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, you're even opening the door to broke dudes and
yeah.
they still can't
yeah, and
walk
still
in
can't.
And figure it out?
I was fucking a guy that made $13,000 a year. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And I know what you're saying. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
And you're just like, honestly, like, you're a piece of shit too. What? Like, you would think you'd be on your best behavior, but you're just eating all of my groceries. So fucking disappointing. Comics, and that's on male comics. No, I'm just kidding.
Nah, but those fuck your self-esteem more. Because then when they don't want you, you're like, you don't want me?
Yeah.
You're a loser.
Thankfully.
A little bit.
I haven't, up until this point, I haven't really cared enough about a man to, my self-esteem is just like rock solid. Like,
oh, there you go.
You know, I have my own issues, but it has nothing to do with a man value, like a man like being like, meh, mm-hmm. you know, I don't give a fuck. But yeah, so it is hard though. It's like, it gets disheartening. It gets exhausting. Yada, yada. But we'll see how it goes. We'll do a follow-up episode when I get my heart broken. No, I'm just kidding.
You come back. We're like, well, we're going to hold you to everything you said. Huh?
Our wedding is going to be a live episode of Shooters.
I mean, but you had that feeling a little bit that I've heard other people talk about, because I have not had this feeling of essentially when you meet someone, they really are doing all the right things and like showing up and putting in the effort. A little part of you just goes, oh, fuck. And it like makes you kind of nervous. You're like, oh, wait,
so
is this the thing?
Yeah.
It's happening now?
Yeah. It's fucking horrifying to think that so many people go on their last first date without knowing it. Like, they go on a first date and then they marry that person. It makes me nauseated. So this,
which is crazy, but also at the same time, every time there's a breakup, something that helps me get over it is like, okay, well, every relationship either ends or you're going to marry that person.
Yeah.
So when you sit there and you go, okay, I didn't think I was going to marry him. And it's like, okay. So ultimately, this was going to come.
It's got
to
end.
It just came
yeah.
at a time you
it's
didn't
a matter of
want
when.
It to.
Or it came and it wasn't on your terms. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. You're like, but I was still having fun with it. It's like, eh, well.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This man invited me. Actually, our first day was supposed to be a Mets game. And I want to preface by saying I had a lot going on that day. So that was the true like reason I didn't go, but I also
stop
did
clarifying things like he's gonna listen.
He's gonna listen. So I did immediately email my therapist, subject line, am I avoidant? And it was just like, these are the reasons I don't think I'm gonna go. Is this reasonable? Am I being avoidant? And then I think I signed off something like, anyways, thanks for listening. I'll be questioning my entire life the next week. See you Monday. So my phone rang like 5 minutes later. My therapist, first of all, I pay her mortgage. She like earns her fucking overtime. She calls, she's like, hey girly. I'm like, hi.
Okay.
But she made a good point. So yeah, especially getting back into dating after so long and dating such shitty people, which we will, you know, segue into. It's very difficult. I have my own emotional unavailabilities, and so it's very difficult for me to not, like, project those on relationships. And so I have to be very mindful of, like, am I being avoidant in this situation? And 90% of the time I am. So, but I told her, I said, I don't think I'm being avoidant. And she said, well, there's one way to test it. If you really actively don't want to be avoidant, text him, tell him, hey, I can't go tonight for reasons A, B, C, and D. And then say...
Too many reasons.
Too many.
Just one.
But then say, follow up and say, however, I'd love to do something Wednesday. Like, book it immediately. You don't wait.
Yeah.
And she's like, and if you have, like, if you're reluctant to do that, you're being avoidant. And I was like, fuck, I'm being avoidant.
See?
Because I was immediately like, well, this Wednesday, and then I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. So we did. We went out, like, that following week. We put something in the books, and... Then I was like, oh, that was silly of you. You should have, like, you know, you should have done this sooner. So
this
anyways.
Is always, I mean, this is always blows my mind because it's like, I've taken every fucking relationship test, read the books,
yeah.
Especially the attachment theory.
I've, like, written the books at this point.
Yeah.
I'm, but, like, in school for this shit and I still can't figure it
but
out.
I've never had avoidant tendencies. I got secure on that test. I've taken it a few times.
Yeah.
And it's always, and the only thing I hate about that test, they'll be like, secure people are often the ones in relationships.
And you're like, bitch, where?
Where? Who? I'm secure. Where is it? Or it's almost like, oh, that's why I'm not in them. It's like, oh, because you don't fuck with the people that aren't secure people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like all the other ones are taken.
Well, it's a lot of pressure for someone with a secure attachment style if you're with someone who's anxious or anxious avoidant. That's a lot of pressure on you because you're constantly, like, validating that person. And then also...
For anxious, not avoidant.
For anxious, you're validating,
yeah,
correct?
You have to validate.
For avoidant... You're more so like, I think that people tend to, like, secure people tend to overcompensate. So the thing about attachment styles is, like, they're fluid, right? So
yeah.
You date
someone avoidant,
I've
it makes you anxious.
All of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. So people in relationships can bring out certain, like, attachment styles out of you, or you can, like, start to kind of adopt theirs, which is very interesting. And that's another thing that's come up is I've realized that I've been the problem in a lot of my relationships. Like, my exes all suck, don't get me wrong. But I've also, because of their behavior, I've also had my fair share of being toxic because they, brought out this, like, anxious side of me.
But this is true for most people. This is the playing the games thing that everybody, as they get older, just goes, yeah, this is what I learned.
Yeah.
If you play games, you're just going to get people that play games.
Yeah.
So when people play games with you, you play them back. That's, quote, being toxic. It's like, it just prolongs the game.
Yeah.
No one wants to play a game with someone who's not participating.
Yeah.
And that's real life, sports, whatever.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. And funny, my dad told me that when I was young. He was like, it's a game, Erica. You got to play the game well. And I was like, I don't, though. I'm not like, I'm a direct fucking,
yeah,
I like it. All right, let's do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? It's over? I'm like, I don't know, you came to me. What do you want?
Yeah. No, it's really hard. And we're taught this from, like, a young age, right? Like, oh, he punched you in the face. He likes you. We love domestic violence.
Yeah, I've done. I've made plenty of moves, but I wouldn't say I was being, like, manipulative or toxic. But they were just moves to be like, let me put myself in this scenario to be, like, near this person, around them, like, to try to, like, get something to happen.
No,
but I wasn't doing, like, crazy manipulative stuff.
I've been insane. And this is the first and only time I'll ever admit it, but, like, I've done some crazy shit. Like,
what's a crazy shit thing you did?
When my ex-fiance wanted this, like, limited edition teddy bear that he gave me, which, first of all, ew. It was very expensive, I will say. He wanted it back, and he was using it as a reason to just, like, contact me. And so he lived in a different state, so I mailed it back to him, but I mailed it to him one limb at a time. So, like, first he got an arm, then he got a leg, then he got the body. And it was like a $300 teddy bear. I mean, I was also just 18 and engaged, so, you know, I feel like it's fine. It's been a decade. I can talk about it now.
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. However, since I know the gist of the story with the engagement, man, I say it is justified. But that is, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, serial killer shit. Oh, you want your toy?
This is actually now a true crime podcast.
I thought you were just going to say I, like, destroyed it and mailed the whole thing. But the fact that you did several packages.
No, I paid for shipping multiple times. I was like, take my fucking money. Let's go. We're making a point. So also, after we called our engagement off, which the whole situation is very weird.
Do you want to tell that story now? I feel like.
Okay,
you
I'm going to keep it really short.
I didn't
short.
Know you were 18. I knew you were young, not 18 young.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it as short as possible. So basically, I was hella Christian. religious trauma. I was very Christian. I went to this like music festival in the middle of a cornfield in Illinois.
And as you do.
Yeah, as you do.
As all the Christian groups do.
As we all do. And I met this man, and I was 17 at the time. I was going into my senior year in high school.
How old
and
he
was 25.
All right.
Yeah, because there were 8 years between us.
Let me say eight.
Yeah.
That makes you feel a lot worse.
And so whatever, we hit it off. We decided we were going to date. We were going to do long distance. And basically, we did that. We did that for my senior year of high school. I didn't go to my prom because I went to his friend's wedding instead. Like, it was, I like honestly missed out on like my senior year of high school because I was so wrapped up with being with this, you know, adult ass man. So, we got engaged on my spring break. And we were like going to, like, we were talking about eloping and we were going to elope. Because my family did not approve. I wonder why.
I mean, of course.
when he first met my mom, he tried to give her silver. And, like, I think he was, like, trying to trade me for silver. I never really fully understood.
This is literally some, like, old country, like.
My mom was like, no.
Oh my god.
Fuck. So we were gonna elope. The courthouse had caught on fire, so we couldn't elope, which was like a sign. This was also the same weekend that he was like, I was telling him I was stressed about applying to colleges, and he's like, well, you're not gonna go to college, like, you're just gonna have babies, and like, I'll provide for you, and like, you'll just be my wife. And I was like, this doesn't feel, something in my body saying no. Like,
yeah,
we're like in a Whole Foods. I've never felt the same going into a Whole Foods since then. Oh, he did nothing for a living. He was like a...
He just traded silver?
He just traded silver.
He just stole aluminum parts from cars. Yeah, just trying to trade it for some cash.
Yeah, he had like studied theology or something.
What the hell?
So we had this like, our engagement was like kind of like secret. And we were like, well, we're going to like get engaged at the end of the summer. Because he was like part of this nonprofit and we were going on tour to basically raise money for it. And on the second or third night of tour, one of his friends who I had become good friends with told me that he like had walked in. So basically he had told me, like, this mutual friend of ours that was originally my ex's friend first told me, like, hey, I don't know how to bring this up, but I walked in on him and this other girl. And the girl was in our friend group. The girl was on tour with us. And I had raised multiple flags, like, I don't feel comfortable with her behavior. She's clearly in love with you. Everyone thought I was crazy. And then I find out that, like, our friend had walked in on them. And so obviously we had a little talk and I was like, this is done, we're done. The same thing.
Wait, side note, he was sleeping with her?
So I never got like the full details, but yes, I'm like.
But were you two sleeping together? Because the whole religious
thing. No, we absolutely were not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So.
And this just feeds into his old crazy old school theology where he was like, oh, I'll marry the virgin girl, but this girl for now.
Yeah. It became like it was the whole situation. If I give too many details, people will be able to identify it. I'm really thinking like that, like, everyone's going to listen to this, I know. But basically, I called it off. The same thing would have been like, I'm going home to my mom and dad. But I was like, nah, I didn't fuck up. I'm going to stay on tour. So then we all spent like 2 months together.
Oh my God.
In a van traveling across the country.
Holy
and I was
shit.
Like, this is fine. And then I came back home and, you know, the whole time he was like, you know, jealous if I was talking to guys in bands. Like, it was just, we were both being toxic about it, you know?
Well, so, I mean, you're fucking 18.
I was 18.
I don't
like,
expect
he
you
should
to.
Have known better, you know? But I feel like I get a little bit of a pass. And then I came home and he wanted the teddy bear and it was the whole thing. So I was like, okay, there you go.
Damn.
Well, I didn't, actually, I did hear from him after that because I found out that the girl had left his best friend and he and the girl got together for a while. She lied about having ovarian cancer to get money from his family.
Jesus.
She's now married. He's now married and has a kid. And I, up until recently, have been very alone. So make it make fucking sense. Make it make sense.
Buddy, it doesn't sound like these people are truly happy with what they're doing.
No. All of it was like a cult. Like I look back.
Yeah, it sounds like
or
it.
I read old journals and I'm like, oh, girly, you were brainwashed.
I mean,
like,
you're also so young.
Yeah, I was just very impressionable.
So young. It's
that
the first
was...
person you like that likes you. Fucking
yeah,
you know,
I hated
shit,
men.
Like
I really like all of my friends. It was a running joke. Like guys would like come into our church and they'd be like, "Oh, what's her deal?" And they'd be like, "Don't fucking bother." Because I was just like, "I'm a good student. I'm in band. I'm in sports. Like I don't have time for this." You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Interesting.
And then I like met this older dude and was just like, "Fuck up my life.
Okay.
Get my mom some silver. At least we got something out of it." You
right.
know. But right. yeah.
So I gotta ask you, because you are currently in grad school for psychology.
Yeah, I'm studying to be a therapist. Yes.
I was gonna say, so you ultimately want to become a therapist.
Correct.
One day.
Yeah.
Career pivot. Hello. But which all for it. So obviously we've talked and we're friends of I have tried therapy and I'm still someone that doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Per se. So I would like to ask you, based on obviously your schooling and just personal experience, feeling like you've had success in therapy.
Yeah.
What do you feel like makes a good therapist for someone that maybe feels like me where they're like, I don't get it. I've tried it. I've tried people several times.
So there's a lot of different approaches to therapy. There's different styles. So some like your problem finding a therapist may have to do with their style. Like maybe CBT isn't for you, cognitive behavioral therapy.
I've never done that one actually. But
so
okay.
I think that the first step is like researching styles and figuring out which approach seems like it would be most effective for you. Also, therapists are a lot like dating. The
fucking hate when everyone says this.
I know.
I hate when
I'm sorry,
says
but it's
this.
The truth. I mean,
because this is the real truth for me is how do I know it's a good one? I thought the last one I had was good.
Can
it was recommended
I have a
by
list.
A therapist.
I'm gonna pull up my phone. I have a list of green flags and red flags. So therapist green flags.
Okay.
They listen. If they don't fucking listen,
I mean,
but you'd be surprised. No, I've had therapists who like speak over to me or
they
who I can tell you interview. So you know what it's like to actively listen where I can tell that they're not actively listening. They're just thinking of like the next thing that they want to say.
Okay.
So find somebody who listens, who makes you feel validated, who challenges you, but is respectful about it. Someone who's open to feedback. I had a therapist who was giving me a certain type of homework once and I had to just tell her like, hey, I fucking hate this and I don't want to keep doing it. It's not working for me. And she was very receptive to that. But I also have heard like stories in school and stories from friends where their therapist is just like, well, that's my approach, you know? And so they have to be open to feedback. They don't rush your treatment. They're mindful of your identity. They don't try to be your friend. This is the most important one. The treatment feels evidence-based. So you should not be going into therapy just talking, like talking to a brick wall and getting the occasional like stereotypical, and how does that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Like that this should be an evident, there should be an evidence-based treatment plan. They do not judge. They encourage your independence and competence. Some quick red flags. If they try to flirt with you or befriend you, your therapist should not be your Instagram friend. So if they are, that's problematic. Assuming they're always right, refusing to acknowledge feedback, pushing you to talk about things that you're not ready to talk about.
These are red
last
flags.
Last minute cancellations, judging or dismissing your experiences. I had a therapist once basically repeatedly session after session after session, this was my last therapist, tell me that I needed to cut off someone in my life who's very important to me.
Mm.
And it was like, I had gotten to the point where I was just like, I'm not doing that. So we need to figure out an alternative. And she wouldn't let it go. So I fired her.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we're done. This isn't working for me.
I've had friends say that about when they've had like family problems.
Yeah,
or
that,
things with
yeah,
their parents,
that's what it was.
And they're like, yeah, I go to therapy. And they're like, oh, well, you don't have to, you know, go home for Thanksgiving. And they're like, well, no, I kind of do.
Yeah.
Like, they are still my family. And Yes. I'm not saying I can easily just cut them out of my life or I don't want to. It's like, yeah. I'm here to figure out how to deal with them or what should I say to them to get them to stop doing XYZ.
Yeah.
Not just cut it off.
Like, I had my good therapist back in Michigan. She had similar issues with her or a similar experience with her parents that I had, but she had completely cut ties like with all of her family. Yeah. And I obviously wasn't going to do that, but she was capable of setting her own experience aside and helping me navigate mine.
Right.
So I think, I mean, my therapist gives me like action items every single week. She challenges me.
Like homework to do?
No, not homework. Just like things to practice, things to consider. I have OCD, which is like so fun in relationships because I overthink everything. I like really ruminate on things like to a very, very, just obsessive degree, you know? And so... there were certain things that I was doing, like compulsions, that she challenged me, and I've since worked out of. Post-pandemic, I couldn't go to a Target without having a mental meltdown. Like, literally, I would have, because I had so many, like, health anxieties and general anxieties, and I'd been cooped up in my apartment, that I would go into Target and, like, disassociate to the point of feeling like I was gonna, like, pass out. And so we had to, like, work through all of these things. She would give me, like, steps every week to take. And now Target gets my money every week.
Okay.
And now I'm back to buying throw pillows.
Right. But then this is the thing that's frustrating to someone like me. It's like, I don't have a specific thing like that.
That's
I don't go into therapy and go, oh, I need this and I need help with this, which I almost sometimes feel like it makes it harder for me to find a therapist that I feel like really helps me.
Yeah, because it's very situational. And it's not like you can find someone who like specializes in OCD, who specializes in anxiety. So maybe you find someone who's just like has more general experience, who has experience in all of those things, relationship dynamics, anxiety, depression, self-esteem, career, like, and they exist, you know, the more generalized like practices do exist.
I know, but I don't know, it feels a little more difficult. Or I told you when I dumped mine mid-session.
Yeah.
And she asked her feedback. I was just like, I've never left here and thought about anything you've said.
Yeah.
I'm like, you really don't say much. I was like, and I walked in saying, I want feedback and challenge me and make me look at things differently, but you haven't.
Yeah, it's hard. I will tell you, in this city, I went through five, I think, therapists before I found my current one, which I'm hoping she can get you in next month. Because honestly, like she's just such a game changer. And
I feel like everybody says this about their therapist when they love therapy.
You know, Melissa.
Yeah,
she had the same experience where she had gone through a bunch of therapists and was like paying an ass load of money. And she was like, I'm getting nothing out of this. Like, what the hell am I doing wrong? Like, why can't I find someone? She started with Ashley and she's like, I get the therapy thing now. I get the therapy thing.
Right.
And that's the thing too, is like, I guess that's a reason I'm like so passionate about going into the field, is because I hope to be a therapist like that, where someone comes to me and they're just like, like I can breathe. Mm. Like, I actually got what I needed out of that session. And also, like, I'm so fucked up. Like, I've been, like, the engagement thing is like tip of the iceberg. Like, I've been through so much that I feel like that is what is going to make me a good therapist, because I know what it's like to have OCD. I know what it's like to be cheated on. I know what it's like to have a bicycle thrown at your head. Like, I know what it's like to experience these traumatic things and to have to like navigate those and unpack childhood trauma. And, you know, while learning to still remain unbiased in these types of encounters, like, I think that that's what's going to make me a good therapist. Like, it's hard if you're talking to someone about relationships who's been married for 30 years and out of the dating game.
Yeah.
Like, who's never been on an app. Like, that's not going to work. They're not going to be relevant to you. And so it does, like, finding that like,
perfect
puzzle. Yeah,
my girl was around my age. She was married now, but, you know.
Yeah. Everyone just has, as much as we're trained to be unbiased and, you know, to just, like, use this scientifically evidence-based approach, like, you know, we all have these, like, complexities and layers that I think no matter what do come out in one way or another. And just like, again, just like dating, sometimes it just doesn't click, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just like, I really would want this to work, but there's just something that's not there.
Yeah. During the session, I was like, what am I doing? This is a waste of time.
My rule of thumb is like, you give them typically 3 to 4 sessions.
Yeah,
and if you don't feel like, you know, a connection or like you're getting something, it's time, like, it's fair to move on.
Yeah. All I got was at the end, it was always be like, do some self-care this week. I was like, oh, thanks. fucking meme account. What is this? Or even she told me a stat once. I was like, I could look up stats, bitch.
You're like, I don't need to know.
Where's the insight?
That 60% of people are as miserable as me.
Yeah. Like, it was something like, well, no. People find it more stressful going to doctors and not having a diagnosis than actually getting diagnosed with something like cancer. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, makes fucking sense. Yeah. I don't need that stat.
That does
I know that.
Not help me.
I'm going through that.
Yeah.
Fucking, yeah. It's annoying.
We're going to find you a good one. I'm convinced.
That's what everybody fucking says. Everybody brags about their fucking therapist.
I'm making it my life mission.
People were shocked. Is that bad that I said that for feedback?
No.
I literally was like, you know, everybody's always like, my therapist says. And I go, I've never fucking quoted you. Like, you've given me nothing. I paid you hundreds of dollars.
Literally all I want was one quote
nothing,
for the podcast.
Nothing has ever stuck with me. And just be like, well, she has no boundaries. I'm like, yeah, I fucking know. That's why I'm complaining about her here.
Yeah.
Like, what? No. What am I supposed to do with that?
You need someone who says, yeah, it seems like there's a lack of boundaries. Let's unpack how you can react to that.
No, she never pushed me on anything.
Yeah, no. She's not it.
Yeah, or once she
Thank
just was
you
like,
next.
You do have a lot of dating trauma. I was like, okay, all right.
You don't fucking
Thanks.
Say. I think if someone said that to me, that'd be my 13th reason. I just like, no.
But it was funny. She was just like, you know, you talk about it like it's just, you know, dating sucks. I'm like, well, it does suck. And most people I know have been through the same or worse than me. So I'm like, yeah, just look at it like, well, shit happens.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it's some real trauma. I'm like, all right, thanks, doc. Fucking great.
Now I can walk these streets at least knowing that I have
like,
trauma.
You've had some dating trauma? Well, do some self-care this week. Get a face mask. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your help. Went to a lot of school for that. We do have to ramp up.
Yeah.
But
wow, time fucking flies when you're shit-talking your ex-fiancé.
Yeah, thank you.
And the homeless guy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you want people to follow you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you want to plug your socials?
Where my Instagram is annoying. It's at Seeker and Sought. Yes, I used to be on Tumblr, if it's not clear that
yeah,
I was a Tumblr girly.
It's a riddle vibe.
You can add me. I also have a podcast that I'm relaunching this December, hopefully, and a psych page, and all of that is like tagged in my bio. So yeah, let's be
Sought.
Friends and shit talk men, but not
Sought.
The firefighter.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet.
And you can find us at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod, and I'm at Sparica with two A's. And stay tuned for Patreon preview coming up next. Thank you guys for listening and watching. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
And I'm like, yeah, fuck that. I'm not going on this date. If I don't hear from this dude in like 20 minutes, fuck that. I don't hear from it at all, as expected. So no date, I don't care. Then I get a text from my homegirl, Christiana Jackson, who was just on the show and literally was doing the episode of, you know, Teach Me How to Hoe, essentially, right? Which, great episode. If you haven't listened to, very fun, hilarious. So all of a sudden I get a text from her, talk about timing on this, literally 3:00. Either of you hot bitches want to randomly chill with some Argentinian men tonight? And I just go, yeah, I might be down. What's the plan? I was like, fuck it. The apps ain't working for me. You got an Argentinian dude who's got a brother? Okay, I'll go. She's like, I'm free after 9. It's some dude and his brother. One's 33 and the other one is 30. They want to grab drinks. And my friend Stephanie laughs. She goes, haha, I'll let Erica have first steps. But also it's like, yeah, girl, you're like in love with a fireman. So whatever. And I said, I could go. Why the hell not? And then we figure out a place to go, da da da. Then we're out with the boys. We get a text from Stephanie, like 11 p.m. She's like, I need an update ASAP. I said, we're still out having a nice time. She's like, oh, I love that. Are they hot? I said, very cute. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. For just $5 a month, you can get an extra episode a week of all the behind the scenes content, and we'll answer all your questions directly. Over there, you get the real juice, you get the real scoop, and you get a say in who we have on the show and what we talk about on the show. Patreon.com/shootersgottashoot.